Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. I am thrilled to be talking to a dear friend of mine for about 30 years, Deborah Edmondson. Thank you for joining us. It's ironic and interesting that we are both working in the field of aging in place. And I am really curious, if you will, to talk to us a little bit about what you're doing right now with Aging in Place, how you got involved in it, and then share with us a bit about the whole process of dealing with seniors.
Okay. Well, Debbie, first, thanks so much for having me. I really am so thankful to be able to talk about this and share this information. Beaufort County, you know, in South Carolina is one of the richest counties. People love to come here. Mm-hmm. And every time Business Week or the New York Times says we're the best of something, even more people come here. And so we have a lot of seniors that have retired. Some of them have been here for 20, 30 years, and they don't know what their next step is. And everybody isn't suited for a nursing home. Everybody isn't suited or can afford assisted living. And so our mission at the Coalition for Aging in Place is to help people stay in their homes as long as it's safe to do so.
So that's the mission statement.
Yes.
Can I ask you a basic question? What is a coalition, and how did Beaufort County formulate a coalition, and why?
Beaufort County, back in the 80s, about 30 years ago, had a study called the Together for Beaufort Initiative. And in that, they identified four components: health, wellness, poverty, education, and lifestyle.
Okay.
And so within those components, then they developed certain coalitions that would address the needs within those components.
And so coalitions, from my way of thinking, are different members of the community in different areas of business that all come together and work as one.
Exactly.
Rather than independently.
Right.
So that the line of communication and the message stays on point. Is
exactly.
That a fair way of saying
the message stays on point, and it also minimizes duplication of services.
Okay.
So if you're not duplicating services, then you have the resources to help more people.
Makes perfect sense.
And so the Coalition for Aging in Place actually was born out of the poverty initiative, because a lot of our seniors are impoverished. And that includes a lot of our seniors that live in gated communities.
Interesting.
That are literally house poor and cannot afford access to the services that they need.
What have you all identified as some of the voids in the area as far as what seniors need? What are areas that you're really working toward?
Transportation.
Oh.
That is the number one issue. Our seniors can't get to doctor's appointments. They can't get to therapy appointments.
Grocery store.
And that really erodes your quality of life if you can't access services. And so the Coalition for Aging in Place, we've been putting these nuggets into the ears of businesses.
Okay.
And so it's not by accident that Publix several years ago started delivering groceries in the Bluffton area.
Interesting.
Okay, because we talk about these things and we communicate it to the greater public.
How does it look? What's a typical, do you meet monthly? Do you meet quarterly?
We meet once a month.
Okay, and what does that look like?
That looks like anywhere from 5 to 20 people that are from different organizations. They could be from hospice, they could be from Palmetto Breeze, mm-hmm. they can be from our area office on aging. The hospitals
okay.
are involved. Assisted living facilities are involved. And we all get together and we talk about what we have going on.
Okay.
There are certain agenda items that we want to get through that focus on our initiatives.
Such as?
Who can get me into some communities to talk to developing a village.
That makes, now, what's a village?
A village is where neighbors are helping neighbors.
Wow.
They're okay. contained within a community, and they will help people who need the services, transportation, which is all volunteer driven. I mean, volunteer yeah. to the point in their personal car, will help them with getting groceries, take them to doctor's appointments.
Go
they'll
to
also
pharmacy.
Come in. Mm-hmm. They'll also come in. You need light bulbs changed too high for you to get to. You need somebody to maybe just do some light cleaning. Maybe you have meals delivered, but you can't heat them up.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will come by and help you. Socialization. Our seniors get isolated. They don't have anybody to socialize.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the villages have opportunities to take seniors to places where they can have activities that they normally wouldn't have gone to.
You know, we're talking about this in South Carolina and Hilton Head specifically in the Lowcountry, but this model you said actually came from Massachusetts and
yes.
it's kind of generalizable throughout the country, which is why we thought it would be such an interesting topic. I just had no idea how the concept of villages.
Yes.
Where did that come from or why the need for that specifically?
The need for the village specifically came about in trying to create the structure, so
yeah.
to speak.
Infrastructure.
That will right. allow people to stay in their homes.
Okay.
And in order for people to be able to stay in their homes, there has to be someone who can help them out with services and the same services that we've talked about.
And so what I hear you say, and tell me, Deborah, if I'm right, let's say I live here. I live in an area called Point Comfort. And it's a community. So basically what you're saying is rather than calling someone in Bluffton to come take me to the doctor, to a
yes.
doctor's appointment,
right.
if I can find folks that are within my neighborhood that I know
no,
and feel
exactly.
comfortable with.
Exactly.
Ah.
Exactly. And it's less expensive than, you know, a lot of our seniors lately have been calling Uber.
Oh,
that
yeah.
that gets to be very expensive.
I never thought of
but
that.
If there's a structure within your community, you're getting to the doctor in the grocery store for free.
With people I know.
With people you know.
And I think that's really important.
It is.
My dad lives with us, and I know he's a lot more hesitant to go with people he doesn't know
exactly.
now than someone he would be likely to know.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah. This is absolutely brilliant. How long have you been working with Aging in Place?
I've been working with Aging in Place now for 7 years.
Oh, have you really?
It's been 7 years because I started out basically being not only a facilitator for the coalition, but what we call a village developer. That's my goal, to try and get communities to develop villages throughout the county because they have to be done a community at a time.
That makes sense.
You know, there won't be a village for the county.
Okay.
So we have three that are south of the Broad. And mm-hmm. for those that don't know our geography, we have this huge river that separates us.
Mm-hmm.
And so south of the Broad includes Hilton Head and Bluffton. And then we have one that is north of the Broad in the Sheldon area.
Oh, interesting.
And because the communities are different,
mm-hmm.
each of the villages are different in the services that they offer, because north of the Broad happens to be one of our more impoverished areas in
mm-hmm.
the county. And so that village takes surveys of seniors. They go in, do assessments, see what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to provide them with some minor home repair or helping them get their home ready for a senior to live in it. you know, rails in the bathrooms, wider entrance ways for wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Things like that.
This is what we're going to take a break. And this is sort of what I'd like to touch on in the next segment that we're doing is transportation is huge, but I'd like to talk about some of the other things that have been identified as challenges for seniors. Okay. So stay with us. There's more to come here on Aging in Place podcast. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on Aging in Place. We are having an amazing conversation with Deborah Edmondson. And the more we talk, the more there is to share. And I think we're going to talk about services. But before we do, during the break, we were talking about the podcast is Aging in Place for any stage in life. And our producer is in his 40s. And we were talking about if he lives in a village community.
Yes.
Falls and breaks his leg, is by himself, cannot get to the doctor. Is that something?
Yes, that village, he can be a member of that village, and that village will provide him with whatever services that they have. It just appears that for the most part,
okay,
it's seniors that need these services. But if you're 45 and you're living alone and you don't have any family,
why not?
Why not?
See, that's the gift of this whole model, isn't it? It really is. All right, let's talk about services. We've touched on transportation, which you said is kind of the biggie, to quote you.
Yes.
But what are some of the other voids or some of the things that you
caregivers.
Oh.
Caregivers in this county. A couple of opportunities with that.
Okay.
One, there aren't enough. So we're working with our local higher education places.
Oh, like nursing school.
Exactly. For training, not only nurses, caregivers, just certified caregivers.
So what would that look like? Who would be a caregiver and what kind of?
A CNA.
Okay.
Okay. Certified nursing assistant. That's 2 years at Technical College of the Lowcountry.
What a great career, too.
Okay. But then pay comes into mind. Mm-hmm. And so the pay level, especially entry level, is not great.
Okay.
And so there's high turnover because when you can move and have an increase mm-hmm. in your salary, you move. So there's high turnover and there's not enough to staff the places because you see the construction mm-hmm. that we have going on around here. And a lot of assisted living facilities are going up. Those facilities that are tied to larger corporations, then they can pay and they have the workforce.
Ah.
So it's hard to keep up with the workforce, especially for the independent companies.
Let me ask you a question about caregivers. Because my mom had a caregiver when she had dementia, I found it interesting that very few men.
Yes.
And that most of the caregivers were pretty young.
Yes.
So what are you looking for? I mean, I wonder what criteria you all would be looking for an ideal caregiver. I guess there isn't one. It just depends.
It really isn't. I mean, you're looking for someone, and they vary, and the qualifications vary, because myself, I have been trying to see how the coalition can help some of our partners who sit around the table improve the workforce population for them.
Okay.
And
this is interesting.
When we had a strategic work session on that.
Okay.
And we were really all over the place. And the bottom line was talk to TCL mm-hmm. and see if we could set up.
Which is Technical College of the
Lowcountry. I'm sorry. Thank you. What was needed were internships.
And what would that mean?
Because when they get certified, they have to have X amount of hours mm-hmm. training first. And so now you're What comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
And so that was a component that was missing that we said we would try and work on.
What I hear is, Deborah, that this is a very solution-focused group for Beaufort County and Aging in Place.
That's what we work towards it to be. Every June, we have a strategic work session, and we identify initiatives to work on during the year. So the coalition this year has a couple of events coming up.
Okay.
Because also at our meetings, we do presentations for the people who sit around the table. So we're going to have one presentation is called our fall workshop.
Okay.
And what that is.
A fall
yes,
workshop.
Falling because Beaufort County.
Oh, I'm giving air quotes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we can see each other.
Beaufort County is spending a lot of money with the fire department in going out to pick up seniors. As a matter of fact, every time the truck rolls, it's $500.
Well, you know what's funny is we had a firefighter come and share with us, okay. And that was exactly what he said. His okay. main calls for seniors
yes.
are falls.
So this workshop will take place in Bluffton. It's going to be the end of March, and what we're going to do is just have some fall preventative measures, testing that might need to be done,
and balance
mm-hmm. different things that you can do to avert falling. So that's what we're calling our fall workshop. Then also we found out that veterans and spouses of veterans have a wonderful benefit that a lot of our veterans don't know about. And it's the aid and attendance benefit from the VA.
What is that?
And so if you served during wartime, you did not have to be in the war.
Correct.
You could be in Jersey.
Right.
But if the country was at war in Europe,
you're in.
You're in.
Okay.
Okay. And it goes up to the Vietnam War. And then there are some more criteria for
okay.
like Afghanistan and right. Iraq. But they can get as much as $20,000 a year to go towards caregivers or assisted living. And because a lot of veterans don't know about this, we had the gentleman who coordinates this area to come and speak with us. And we're now going to give a presentation with him sometime in late spring.
How do you all get the word out to the folks in the Beaufort County area? I know that you do produce a wonderful
right.
resource directory, which is a godsend.
And that helps. And it's going to, the new one that's coming out will include a calendar of events.
Okay.
And so it will have our annual events listed and any other event that's pertinent to seniors. And we also do PR. And then for the people who sit around the table in the coalition, they use their resources to get the word out as well.
Is church ever a problem, folks who want to participate in their church activities? I would think there, again, transportation and accessibility would be a challenge for that, too.
It is a challenge. And so, I mean, if you're involved with a village, you can get transportation to church services. The village that I mentioned that's north of the Broad mm-hmm. actually was born out of a church.
Oh.
It's their senior adult ministry.
Okay.
And they offer seniors, they do a health and wellness expo twice a year, and they focus on different aspects of senior living. There's one tomorrow. They're doing it on dementia and caregivers.
Oh, how fascinating.
And then they also offer socialization because this village is in a very rural area.
Uh-huh.
The seniors tend not to be able to get out and mix and mingle with other people. So once a month, they try to have something where the seniors can go and participate, like the conference tomorrow.
Sure.
Or maybe they might go take a boat ride in Savannah and have lunch, or go to a museum in Charleston and have lunch. So they do different things, and these seniors wouldn't have had that opportunity.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. I think we need to take a quick break. We're
okay.
going to come back on Aging in Place.
Okay.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host, Debbie Lines, and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. Deborah Edmondson has joined us, and we're talking about aging in place and some of the resources here in Beaufort County in South Carolina. Although we're talking specifically right now locally, really this is a very generalizable model. And I don't care in what city you live.
It can be replicated.
That's right. And the issues are the same.
Right.
And I think, again, we're trying to open up a dialogue about things as we age that we may not be aware of. And what Deborah shared in the first couple segments was transportation is absolutely a huge issue. One of the things we're going to talk about in this segment is about adult protection. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, the Department of Social Services at the state level has an Adult Protective Services Division. So each of the offices in each county has an Adult Protective Services. And what they...
Yeah, what is that and why?
Well, because we have a lot of our adults, specifically seniors, who are vulnerable.
Okay, so they are considered a vulnerable population.
They are
like
vulnerable.
Children.
Yes, exactly. And so the family group conferencing process in South Carolina started with children. And they realized that for vulnerable adults, this would be a great model.
And what does that look like?
What that looks like is bringing together for a family a meeting that includes service people. So, and I'll give you a very good example.
Okay.
There was a vulnerable adult who had children, but they could not care for her.
Okay.
And she had mental issues.
Okay.
She also had physical health issues. And she was in the custody of DSS because her children couldn't care for her. They didn't have the qualifications. But what we were able to do is bring together someone from the Area Office on Aging, someone from an assisted living facility.
Wow.
Then the caseworker was there. We also brought someone in from a hospice agency and a caregiver agency. So now the family has people to talk to because they didn't know where to go to get help. Now they have people to talk to and we develop a plan. And the plan is very specific. Person A does this activity, and they have to do it by this date with an end date. And this plan is then implemented, and the goal is to make sure that that vulnerable adult is put into an environment where they are safe. Now, that environment could very well be their home, but that might mean we have to get someone in to do some repairs.
Okay.
Okay, so the plans are tailored to that person.
And they're very, very specific.
Very specific. And so we had the state coordinator come and give us a presentation. And so the people who sit around the table were able to get her contact information, and they can provide her referrals of people who they work with that they think are vulnerable.
So what I hear you say again here is these are about specific people. It's not just conceptual.
Right.
Fascinating. Right. From an adult protective services, I never really thought about caretakers not being able to take care or family not being able to take care of someone. But I think that is something to really consider. And I guess adult protective services would also be involved in any kind of senior abuse or money.
Yes. Yes, they are. There have been instances where some adults have fell prey to scams or thinking that maybe one of their children were really taking care of them and they weren't. They were just siphoning off their money. These are all types of situations that Adult Protective Services will get involved in.
Do you find that as you start, when you started this, the amount of knowledge that you've gained that you didn't know.
Tremendous.
Is it?
Absolutely tremendous. And I've been able, I mean, the knowledge that I've gained has helped me within my own family structure, mm-hmm. because there were so many things that we did not know about that I can impart to family and impart to family friends all over the country. You know, I'm always telling family members and friends who are taking care of their parents, why don't you look into this agency? Why don't you look to your community? So the things that I'm involved here in Beaufort County, definitely I have talked to people about in New York, in Alabama, in Illinois, in Michigan. They are all transferable services.
Let me ask you a question about actual physical structures. What about things like handlebars or safety bars, things like that? Are those things that you do also?
We don't do them specifically, but the Area Office on Aging, and every state has one, you can go to them and they have grant. Mm-hmm. They have grant money at the Area Office on Aging, and the grant money is for things like that. They're remodels,
okay.
so that your bathroom is set to be handicapped. Or if you need lifts to help you get out of bed, there's grant money for that through your Area Office on Aging.
So what I hear you say, again, there are resources available. Part of the issue is getting all of that information out to the public.
Yes.
And one of the things you said when you came in that was interesting, I think, for me, Henrik, and I think the rest of you all, was it's not about getting the message out to the patient, if you will,
right.
or the client who's right. the senior. It's about the family.
It's about the family, because what? Children need to know where to go to help their parents, especially if they do not live in the same area. You know, there used to be a time that we all lived together, uh-huh. stayed together in the same community. Now, you know, you can have parents on the East Coast and children on the West Coast, and they're not familiar where their parents have retired to. You and know, they were born and raised in New York, but mom and dad decided to move down to Hilton Head.
And then
they can contact the Coalition for Aging in Place.
Okay.
At coalitionforagingandplace@gmail.com. Okay.
Okay.
They can also contact the Lowcountry Council of Governments or whatever council of governments might be in their respective states.
Okay.
Because that's where the Area Office on Aging will sit. And they can find out about grants. There are grants for respite care.
Wow.
So that if, you know, you're the caregiver in your family and you're like, I just need a break.
Right.
I want to go get my hair done.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was
thinking. Okay. There are grants that will allow you to they'll give you money. It's small, but it'll pay for someone to come into the home and stay with your family member while you go to have some respite.
Deborah, this information has been absolutely priceless. And I think, again, the more knowledge is power.
Yes.
And just this discussion right now has opened up a whole plethora, I think, of questions that we can answer here within this podcast. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having
me. We want to thank all of you for joining us here on Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. Deborah, before we go, I'd love to have you again, little shameless self-promotion. And if are there any other websites or
I'd like everybody to be able to access the Senior Resource Directory that we have here in Beaufort County, and that's seniorresourcedirectory.com.
Yay. Thank you all. Thank you all for joining us. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. Hitch a ride. Don't be afraid to ask family or friends for rides. Search out the senior transportation in your area. There are many agencies that have volunteers to drive you, whether to the doctor or shopping. The good side about asking family, you can use the I buy and you drive for a lunchtime outing. When my mother was dependent on others, we made a family calendar on who could take her on what days. It made it easy to plan her doctor visits and shopping when she knew ahead of time she had a ride. Mom was always happy to have family accompany her and enjoy treating her ride. Who knew we would miss being her chauffeur when she was gone?
Deborah Edmondson provided a wonderful interview today, and there was really a lot of information. Perhaps the biggest takeaway is this. There are resources in every city and town in the U.S. It may be difficult to access initially, but keep looking. Look for things like a senior resource directory or an aging in place council. Have a wonderful week, and thank you for joining us here on Aging in Place. Bye-bye.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.